Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. This morning's message will emphasize the mark of the beast that every soul will have to have place under his or her skin or be executed for not doing so, as proclaimed in the book of Revelation. This reality is closer than you think. This mark will be the radio frequency identification chip, RFID microchip, that is readily available with today's modern nanotechnology. The timing of this message when I first preached it was uncanny, since providentially I preached it just before the COVID-19 lockdown began to be implemented and before the hysteria for mandatory vaccination, which may include a nanochip to trace and monitor every recipient. Also uncanny was the fact that Indiana House Bill 1143 was unanimously approved by the Indiana House of Representatives that bars employers from requiring the implantation of any form of ID or tracking device in their employees unless the employee gives voluntary consent. But what is most important before forced microchip identification can be implemented, a society has to have in place a cashless economy which is rooted in the pit of hell. and that every God-fearing Christian should oppose and resist with every ounce of their being. As a result of this individual and economic lockdown curfew, which is a deceptive form of martial law, we are now seeing businesses forbidding the use of cash. Money and the physical circulation of money is the lifeblood of a vibrant civilization, and our United States Constitution demands it. The Apostle Paul, who was full of the Holy Spirit, encourages the children of God for the last 2,000 years with these prophetic words, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Enjoy this morning's message as we rightly divide the word of truth. This is part 5.
We shifted from fiat money, we talked about last week. We looked at a regular dollar bill today, and then we looked at a silver certificate. And we read off the silver certificate compared to your dollar bill. It says your dollar bill says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. In the silver certificate, and there were gold certificates, it says this certificate is legal tender for all debts, public and private. But it said this is a silver certificate. This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. We talked about how they stole the true wealth of the country. Turn your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Now I want you to see this in Ezra, verse 1. "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sirai, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah." For Ezra, verse 10, jump down to verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." Now, if you're familiar with the book of Ezra, Ezra was with Nehemiah during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. This is at the end of the Babylonian captivity when Judah, those who were captured and taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were put into captivity for 70 years. And God put it in the hearts of the kings to allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. And in Ezra, so this was after the 70 years, God was angry with Israel. He allowed the Assyrian Empire to take the northern tribes out of the land, and he allowed the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar to take the southern tribe, or Judah, primary tribe of Judah, those who occupied Jerusalem. They destroyed the city, burned the city, knocked down the walls, destroyed the temple, and they were taken into captivity for 70 years to give the land rest because they did not practice the Sabbath, sabbatical year. And so he gave every year for those long period of times when they did not allow the land to rest. So God is putting it in, God's moving in the king's heart. Here is the evidence too, as you read along, that God put in the heart of King James to commission the final version of the Bible in the English language, because God works in the hearts of kings all throughout Scripture. Not in publishing companies, not some scribe or some scholar in a Bible college or some seminary, but he puts it in the king's heart, and God put it in King James' heart to commission the work for the King James Bible. And that was to be the final word on the English version. So verse 10, we'll read verse 10 again. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Verse 12. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Perfect peace. And at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. So Ezra went back to build the temple. Nehemiah went back to build the wall of Jerusalem. And to carry the silver, mark those words if you have a highlighter, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, verse 16, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the free will offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks. What is the money? Gold and silver. Did our forefathers understand that? Yes, that's what they put into the Constitution. Coin, gold and silver. We read that last week also. Money to buy bullocks and rams and lambs with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. Verse 23, jump to verse 23. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Very important passage next, verse 24. And we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites and singers and porters and Nethethims or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, custom upon them. Amen. The church should be tax exempt, tax free, non-taxable in a Christian country. It doesn't need to become incorporated in order to become tax exempt. And that's the way it was for the church for many, many decades. It shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. Blessed. Now here Ezra is reading. That was the decree of Artaxerxes. Now verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which has put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. There it is. That's where our forefathers got the explanations there. You have three places, and we talked about this last place in the Bible. It talks about the coining of money and money being drawn from the treasury. We talked about intrinsic value. The value was in the gold and silver. It had an intrinsic value. We talked about if you defaced this dollar bill, you couldn't even pass this off for $1. Or you go try a con, kind of merchant and say, hey, this was a $100 bill, but it got defaced. Means all the ink got washed off. And he'll laugh at you, won't he? He says that you can burn it, but it has no intrinsic value. You deface a silver coin or a copper coin, there's still value in it because it's silver and it's gold. It may not have the full value, but it's only diminished a hair. And that's the intrinsic value. That's wealth. We talked about the last time the U.S. Congress assigned a dollar value to a troy ounce of gold. What's the difference between a troy ounce and a regular ounce? How many ounces in a pound? 16. And a troy ounce is 12 ounces in a pound. So it weighs a little bit more, and they call it a troy ounce. And the U.S. Congress said it was $35 for a troy ounce of gold. And then the silver was one troy ounce of silver was $1. So it was 35 to 1. Today, the value of an ounce of gold is $1,592. What happened? Is gold that much more valuable? Or is this diminished in value? The dollar, the FRN, the Federal Reserve note, has declined in value. It has depreciated. One way of teaching the value of what has happened to the dollar. 100 years ago, you could buy a Brooks Brothers suit for 1 ounce of gold. Today, you can still buy a Brooks Brothers suit for 1 ounce of gold. But what changed? The value of the dollar, the Federal Reserve note. Why? Because there's nothing backing it. They stole our money. Our Constitution said coin money, regulate the value thereof, coin. Coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin tender in payment of debt. How come you don't hear that in the news? What happened to the constitutionality of that? Because you start bringing that up, you start raising that. Let me tell you, every conservative pundit out there, they can argue until they're blue in the face about Democrats and Republicans and you know, take up the argument of one side or the other. But they start touching upon the Federal Reserve note, and start touching on what I'm touching on here in this pulpit, and they will be off the air before they can say goodbye. How many remembered Stan Solomon? You know why he got off the air? Because he started talking about these topics. He went further. Hannity, Levin, Michael Savage, they ain't going to talk about this because they know this is career ending. This is career ending. You talk about these topics. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in 1933, imposed a ban on U.S. citizens buying, selling, or owning gold. How could he do that? Because the American people were ignorant about their Constitution. They seized the banks. They seized their bank if they had any gold or any valuables in their safe deposit box in the banks. They seized that. You couldn't own gold. Make gold illegal to own. That's the money. Your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were robbed. And the value of gold today is now set twice a day in England. Oh, you know why England? Because the Federal Reserve is incorporated in England. Oh, but you didn't know that. Because it's not federal, has nothing to do with the federal government. And it has nothing to do with reserves. Now you're saying, Pastor Greg, why are you talking about this? You were just reading about the mark. Now you're talking about the Federal Reserve. Because they go hand in hand. Now we're going to close and connect the dots. And we're going to see why this is such a major issue. Because in your notes, a cashless society will lead to the mandatory RFID chip, radio frequency identification. The electronic direct deposit of all salaries, wages, and benefits, along with electronic transfer of funds and payments, is leading the way to a cashless society. These things are designed to condition the masses for more draconian measures of total government control of people's finances. Of course, all deceptively cloaked around the need for the government to catch drug cartels and tax cheats and other illicit activities. Most stores today see very little cash. My son worked at a Staples for a period of time, and maybe 3 to 4 people a day use cash. We're living in a society you cannot use cash. There's Michael Savage, Mark Levin, one of those guys, they promote a book called The War on Cash. Dave Ramsey says, cash is king, but it really isn't. There's a war on cash. You take $10,000 or more out of your savings account or checking account, and you set up a red flag for the IRS to go, ooh, I'm going to look into every bit of your finances. What you doing? I'm telling you, they're setting us up, and the church and Christians, for the most part, are falling for it. A cashless economy has to be implemented in order for the mark of the beast to be implemented. Because you can't buy or sell. So there can't be any cash. There can't be any black market of bartering of any sort. And today, they can find you anywhere. You could go hide in the woods, you think, and you start a little campfire, and you'll have a park ranger down your throat in no time, even if you're above the Arctic Circle. Conservation officer will find you. What you doing? You trying to hide from the government? The national debt of over $23 trillion, which is continuously rising, never in a downward projection, and the forecast unfunded future liabilities of well over $122 trillion. You don't hear politicians talking about that number. What is that? That's payments the government owes and has promised its citizens and veterans and federal employees in the forms of pensions, Social Security, GI Bill, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment, and other social benefits. It never goes down. Now, who's the owner of the debt? We pay the debt, but who's the lender? The Federal Reserve. What are they lending? Oh, well, they must be lending us money. Are they lending you money? No. It's a printed denomination on a piece of paper. The money's the gold and silver. As I said last week, don't think there's any gold and silver in Fort Knox. Because the Federal Reserve has it, or the Rothschild banks in England have it. But they say, oh, well, we owe a debt. You owe a debt. Okay. $23 trillion. Have you ever seen the debt clock? Go pull that up on the internet and watch those numbers just spinning. Gaining interest like nothing you've ever seen. Do they print enough money for the interest? No, just the principal. Just the principal. So when they put more money into circulation, they jack up the debt. And they're not really lending you money. They're lending you a note. Here's the biggest con game, shell game, deception on the face of the earth. You and I call this money, and printed right on his face says note. A note is an IOU. It's the biggest con game, and we have been bought into it for decades. 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 The rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. Let me give you another term for the lender. He's the master. You the slave. The American people are the slave. And he is the master. And they got us all enslaved to owe this debt, and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, which will never end. Listen to some passages from Scripture. Write down these references. Exodus 22, 25. If thou lend money. Now, these are the law. This was the law of God to the Israelites. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a user, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. You say, well, what is usury, Pastor Greg? Interest. King James Bible uses the word usury. That's interest. Do you know today in the Jewish community, they lend money to one another and they don't charge interest? They help one another build up their business. Young man, young woman starting out, a young couple starting out, they help them without charging them interest because they go back to the law of Moses. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23, 19 and 20. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of food, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thy heart to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Deuteronomy 23.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.